at least two appropriations meetings with executive personnel here, and nobody said, I don't like that word, change this word, change it to this word. I mean, the idea is it's supposed to be a consensus document. So the only way to make it that way is for them to have some constructive input. It doesn't do us any good to find out after the fact, hey, we wish you would have used a different word. So the important part about this resolution is it complies with the law. It is a projection. It is a snapshot of what we think projected revenue is going to be. It's going to be used for budgeting. If the executive branch comes in September and says, we want to get in that permanent fund, that's a whole different issue from here's the snapshot of what money we're going to have, we think we're going to have available. So without an override, we have no projected revenue as required by the law. So I would ask us to override this and so that we comply with this law.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, I too would ask that we override this, and I agree with my colleagues who've spoken to, I spoke in appropriations. I don't like the permanent fund is included either, and I even broke out the congressional rules on appropriations, and it said to include, and we all sat right here with this large screen and tried to play the numbers game and figure out how we're going to do this, because I believe that we started with $11 million with $19 million in requests, and we sat there and played the numbers game and how we're going to prioritize, how this is all going to fit in. And we were going off the general treasury. But technically, we were supposed to include the permanent fund in our report to Congress, because I like to be able to give our report to Congress a recommendation from appropriations so that they too know where we stand and where we're going and have a guideline. But technically, we were supposed to include that, and it actually says that in our congressional rules. And that kind of baffled me. And I said, I don't like it. So I think we as a Congress need to change that, at least in-house, that we don't do that, because otherwise we could sit right there and keep going and keep going and go beyond, exceed what's in the general treasury and keep adding more bills that, as long as they're direct assistants, spend $20 million more technically, because that's what that fund can be used for. And we've spoken about that fund and kind of went back and forth in that first year, and it's supposed to be there for direct assistance for, I think a tornado hit close to Sand Springs Casino, because if that, something like that was to happen, it would probably wipe that out. That the gaming would take a huge hit. So I like the thought of having this guideline to go. I think we need to change it in the congressional rules, and I mean, we need to know where we stand and where we're going, because we are going into taking on some debt, and we've heard many times from gaming that this is it. We're moving forward, and we don't have the money to keep coming back and asking for more and more and more. So I urge you to support this as well.
Congressman Walker.
Well, the permanent fund has been available for Congress to appropriate out of. It wasn't 2010, it was under this Congress the previous Congress. So it may be 2013, possibly 2014. We've not accessed it yet. It's been part of the revenue projection. So, to talk about accidentally, or not accidentally, but overspending by millions of dollars because it's there available, that we've not done that. We know what our distribution from gaming, what we get from the tax commission, the other revenue that we base our spending off of, which hasn't been the permanent fund. And we sit around and we talk about worst case scenarios and all this. We do it all the time. It's good to consider, But I don't think our decision should be made on worst-case scenario. I prefer to apply a little common sense. And I wish we would do that a little bit more often. So when I read a veto message that makes sense to me, even though I voted for the bill, I'm going to consider not overriding it. In this case, I agree with the veto message. I'll not be voting to override this.
Congressman Shaw.
You know, when I read the veto message, I thought the biggest argument that the veto message contained was objection to some of the language that had to do with encumbrance and restriction on the permanent fund. I know it's been brought up intermittently, and I've heard repeatedly, although I can't tell you I'm knowledgeable about the exact specifics, but I've been told that the master campus loan documents contain a provision that that encumber up to $20 million of the permanent fund. Okay. So rather than put out an amount that's not completely available, that language was added about encumbrance and then restricted to direct services. Because if it could, if a worst case scenario happened, and it could, that's not far fetched to think about some of the things that could dampen our gaming revenue stream. We need to think twice before we really think that we have the entire $30 million if we had to use. It may not. I don't think it's all available to us. I think we've got $20 million in the permanent fund that's not completely available for immediate spending. And with that belief, we felt it to be most accurate to include that language in there. So I'll support the veto override.
Is there any more discussion to the motion? Congressman Norris.
I put a lot of homework into this. I thought I knew a little bit about annual projected revenue, and I've come to find out maybe I don't know as much as I thought I did. So I had lengthy discussions with our budget analyst and another congressional person, and then I got on Google and researched, and went back to some old county books, and that even almost got more confused than ever. But anyway, I think I understand now what we're talking about. My main hang-up was, when I think of revenue going into a new year, I think of all your resources you have available going into your new year. And at first I looked at this as, we're not accounting for the permanent fund, as in case we had to use it in the new year. I was thinking, if we move that account for that $30 million into the new year, but it's restricted. There's only certain things we can use that fund for. Then we would have a picture of our total revenue in that new year, knowing that that $30 million is restricted. Well, after some more discussion, some more thought, well, also I was thinking, if we don't list it as our tribal annual projected revenue, then we're not identifying it really going into the new year or in the FY17. But it is identified. You just have to figure that you got $47,330,000 in your annual projected revenue. You know that you've got $30,899,802 in the permanent fund. It's identified. I mean, but it's restricted. And that, I think that's what had me confused, is maybe it's not identified. Well, I find out after more thought, yes, it is identified. So I'm going to support veto override in this case. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion to the motion? Well, I want to join in on this debate on this. If you read the resolution, and number one, it says the Osage Nation Congress approves the annual projected revenue of the Osage Nation government for fiscal year 2017. And as Congresswoman Edwards read when she was having discussion, we have a definition that defines our annual projected revenue. You continue to read under number one on this resolution, it says tribal annual projected revenue, $47,330,000. And we know that that comes from the tax commission, the gaming, and I'm trying to think if there's any more that go into that, and interest revenue. And that's money that's projected to come in, revenue that's going to flow into the nation. You turn the page over, and it also includes the permanent fund in the annual projected revenue total. And it's in the amount of $30,899,802. And you continue to read, and it also includes the health clinic revenue, $1.8 million. If you add that, all of those totals up, they're set apart because they're different pots that we consider to be our annual projected revenue. All you have to do is add three numbers together, and it equals $81,029,802. It's all here in this resolution. It hasn't been excluded. It's here. We all know the functions of the permanent fund. When we enacted the permanent fund legislation, we enacted it with restrictions. So it would be something that we'd have to stop and pause about appropriating out of. We can appropriate out of that fund for specific purposes. Therefore, in my opinion, it does not need to be lumped in with the heading of tribal annual projected revenue. It's part of an annual projection of revenue. So I will be supporting to override this veto. Is there any more discussion? The question is, shall the motion pass?
Congressman Morris.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congresswoman Bucklehead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Yett.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Speaker Whitehorn.
Yes. The motion passes. The veto message has been overridden on ONCR 1625 and it's enacted as Osage law. We have one more veto override message that we have on today's agenda, and it's an executive veto message, April 12, 2016, to the Honorable Maria Whitehorn, Speaker of the Osage Nation Congress and members of the 4th Osage Nation Congress. I hereby transmit, pursuant to the provisions of Section 2 of Article 7 and Section 14 of Article 6 of the Osage Nation Constitution, my objection to ONCA 1633, entitled, An Act to Authorize Funding Levels for Higher Education Scholarships Paid Out of the Higher Education Fund. The executive branch was not consulted on this legislation. I have asked for recommendations from the Education Division, and their recommendation is to veto ONCA 1633. Legal counsel has also recommended a veto of ONCA 1633 for different reasons. I have my own concerns, which are in addition to those of the Education Division and the Legal Counsel. The education team of the Osage Nation states that the funding authorization for scholarships should be general in its scope to the Osage Nation, so the Osage Nation can adapt our scholarships in the future without changing laws whenever adjustments may be made. ONCA 1633 restricts the nation from ever changing the funding levels without an act of Congress, locks in a method that limits the nation's scholarship to best meet the needs of the Osage students in the future, makes it difficult to recover monies when students withdraw fail, or never return. The Jumpstart method the Osage Nation Division of Education has worked on is scheduled to begin in the 16-17 academic school year. The Jumpstart method gives students a financial jumpstart in their first term to cover extra expenses it takes to start school. Thereafter, scholarships paid out are based on the number of credits successfully completed during the prior term. Legal counsel and other advisors have pointed to the recent Supreme Court case of Standing Bear versus Whitehorn and have advised this bill appears to be unconstitutional because it places restrictions and limitations upon appropriations made to this fund. This bill also sets the fees for administrative costs, which is an attempt to negotiate contracts for the administration of the higher education fund. That function should be left to the executive branch, and the actual cost should be determined by the work needed to administer the program, not an amount determined without consultation with the executive branch. I also believe the categories to be prejudicial to those students who seek their beginning education in community colleges or other educational institutions of higher learning, which offer only an associate's degree. Many of our Osage people will choose an associate's degree as their degree of choice, as their preferred first higher education degree. For some Osages, an associate's degree will satisfy their career choices. For others, an associate's degree is an important first step in their pursuit of a bachelor's degree or a postgraduate degree. Our education division seeks to provide a more uniform distribution of education funds to all Osages. Based upon these objections and justifications, I hereby veto this bill. Sincerely, Jeffrey M. Standing Bear, Principal Chief of the Osage Nation.
What's the number of the bill?
The number of the bill is ONCA 1633.
Move to override ONCA 1633.
I have a motion to override 1633.
Second.
And there is a second from Congressman Mason. There's discussion. Is there discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
We created the Higher Education Scholarship Fund back in 2011. And much like the Capital Asset and Improvement Fund and the Health Benefit Fund and some of these other funds we created, we put in the law the guidelines, the restrictions, the limitations, how the fund was going to be used. And the fund is for students to have their tuition, fees, and books paid for, as well as to allow them to have a scholarship incentive and a graduate student incentive. Now the law says additional categories of scholarships can be approved by law. We all know how you change law. You come through and you say you're amending or you're repealing or you're replacing, and then you list what you want to do with respect to changing the law. That process has been going on since 2006, and I see nothing in the recent Supreme Court opinion that says you're not doing that anymore. So when we last year passed a bill that said we're going to fund this much money to the scholarship fund, which we did, we also passed another bill which says this is the funds are authorized to be spent for these three or four categories that are listed in the bill. And we had an order of preference. Fund the general scholarship for tuition. Fund the books. Fund the graduate student incentive. Fund the grade incentive. Fund the field of study internship. And you can also take $150,000 out of that fund for scholarship administration. That's what the law said. The law got passed. We all went down the road. Scholarships were paid. We're getting an award for our scholarship program. All good. Now this year comes up. I just took the same bill that we filed last year plugged in what the chief had approved for the scholarship amounts, what we'd authorized, and said, okay, that's great, and filed it. Didn't think much about it. Called the education services administrator and said, filed the bill, put the same numbers in as last year, let us know. Well, we had at least two meetings on this bill, and nobody came and spoke to anything other than unconstitutional. Not, by the way, we need more money for this. By the way, we want to do something different. By the way, we want to add a category called the Jumpstart category. Never heard anything about this. So, when we got this veto, I called and said, I don't understand. None of this was ever presented to us. But by the way, we did get an information from the treasurer that the administrative fees were going up. If this veto stands, how are you going to pay the additional funds for the third-party administrator? The money's not going to come out of the fund. We don't have a percentage. We have a dollar amount in there. So what are you going to do? And the answer was, well, I don't know. I said, all right, there's problem number one. Problem number two, what is this jumpstart thing? We don't have any category in the law called jumpstart. What is it, even? Well, it's a financial jumpstart for extra expenses that you might incur in going to school. I'm like, what kind of extra expenses? Well, just anything you might incur when you first start school. And I said, well, we've never budgeted for allowing incoming freshmen whatever expenses they might incur in going to school. Like needing a car to get to school? Maybe. Like purchasing your clothes that you need for school? Yeah. Anything? I mean, going away to college, you know, entails some expense. Yep, that's what it's for. I said, good grief, we have not even started to consider that. If that was going to happen, why wasn't it presented to us as a suggestion to let us all discuss and have input on this? Because the position is, this bill is unconstitutional, and that's where we're going to stand. Okay, so here's my thought on this. Well, you didn't take it to court. You haven't taken the underlying bill to court to say this is unconstitutional. You signed the bill last year. Now we're here, and if we don't override this veto, what happens to the scholarships for the kids? It's very likely that there's no authorization. Well, there's certainly, as far as I can tell, no authorization to jumpstart monies. But what about this bill? Does this bill from last year carry over to this year? And what are we going to do about it if it doesn't? So I actually went and made an appointment to talk to the Attorney General this morning and say I'm really concerned about what's going to happen to our scholarships if we don't have a law that authorizes spending for this year. I know we've got another one, we've got last year's, but I don't know what the future holds without it. And of course, we had no time to sort through it and make a decision by any means, and I wasn't really even asking her for a decision. I was just saying, am I off base thinking we may have a real problem here? Maybe we don't, because we've got the old law to fall back on, but maybe we do. And who gets hurt while we fight about how this works? The students. That funding that we have authorized allows for every student to have tuition, fees, and books up to the cost, the actual cost of the in-state public institution. No one is discriminated against. They get their funding. But we don't have in there an authorization to give someone that's taking three semesters a full load worth of funds, and even additional funds to start school. And if you do that, what's going to happen to the funds available for the other students? How are you going to make this work? Because we've never calculated that. And you all know that based on the method that we have now, what's approved, we spent $8.2 million last year. We didn't put any additional funding for this year in that fund. We didn't put any additional funding for next year in that fund yet. And so conceivably, a lot of money could come out of that fund for something that Congress has never approved. I think we should override this veto. We should send the message to our students that we support their endeavors and that we want to fund them for next school year, and that we're going to fund them to the amount of tuition, fees, books, in addition, a scholarship incentive, in addition, a graduate student incentive. And if the executive branch wants to come back and talk to Congress about adding some additional categories, the law says, come on. But you don't do it by vetoing what we are authorizing and then just tell us we're going to change everything. I know that's not the way the law is supposed to work, so I would encourage the override.
Any other member wish to join in the discussion of this motion? Well, I want to join the debate. I believe as Congress that we do have the legislative authority to authorize spending out of a fund. It's a separate piece of legislation. It's not like it was in the Supreme Court decision that says it was unconstitutional. We are not putting those restrictions in an appropriation bill. In my opinion, this is how government and law works. We authorize spending out of funds. Otherwise, what this body would be doing is we would be putting millions of dollars into a fund and we would just be saying, spend it to the executive branch. We represent the Osage people too. We represent the students. And I believe it's the legislative duty to authorize funding levels out of any fund, or spending levels out of any fund through an authorization bill. So I am going to vote yes to override this veto, and I hope that my colleagues will join me in that, Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, I agree, and I know I voted for this in the first place because in committee we had the discussion about this, and it came down to a comment because we have sat here the entire session hearing this, that's unconstitutional. And as Congresswoman Buffalo had pointed out earlier, that's an interpretation of what's been presented to us. And I think the comment was made by a member of the executive branch that, and here we go with the for instance, but we said, okay, so we appropriate over $8 million to scholarships, and if you wanted to, you could just give students $500, or as Congresswoman Edwards is pointing out, $10,000 a piece at one time. I mean, just kind of, you know, and it sounds like there's already some changes coming up with Jumpstart and whatnot, and I don't know all the details of that, but that sounds a little worrisome, almost setting an 18-year-old new college student up for failure. So I don't know much about that, but I do know that we do have the power to appropriate, and that's what we appropriated it for, and we are telling our students that we want to make sure that when you enter into these universities, this is what you're going to receive. And some of them are not entitlements, but they've entered into their college years and, you know, thinking and hoping that we're going to stay at this level so that they'll be able to finish what they started. And so it was stated that if you wanted to give them $500 a piece, according to the executive branch's interpretation, you could do that. And they said yes. So this is just, I think, us with the power to appropriate saying this is what we have appropriated it for and the protection of the students. So I urge your support as well.
Any more discussion to the motion? Congressman Walker.
Well, I was on the executive branch, or as an employee, part of the executive branch for the first 6 years of this government. The last four, I've been on this body. One of my main frustrations on towards both branches is both branches' stubbornness about holding their ground and an unwillingness to work together for the good of everybody, including our students. I want to point out a couple things that I think need to be pointed out. One, if this veto message or this veto is not overridden, the students will still have funding to go to college. There's already a handbook in place with guidelines on how the fund's going to be spent. I think this is premature. We've not had input from the executive branch. I can't answer exactly why, but the fact is we haven't. So now we're going to go ahead and just say, well, we're going to decide how it's done, and that's the way that you guys are going to do it. I don't believe that that's the way government should operate and be, and I'm going to not vote, or I'm going to vote to not override this veto. I said that right. I'll be voting no to override.
Is there any more discussion to the motion? Seeing none. The question is, shall the veto on ONCA 1633 be overridden?
Congresswoman Pratt?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
No.
Congressman Supernaw?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Bethelhead?
No.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
No.
Congressman Yeh?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
No.
Speaker Whitehorn?
Yes.
Sorry, students. So the veto override fails on ONCA 1633. We are now, let me get back to the agenda. We are now at a point that we probably need to take recess for engrossment, for the purposes of engrossment. Congresswoman Pratt.
We can recess to the call of the chair for the purpose of engrossment. And the legislation is ready, so.
Second.
The motion in a second. All in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed?